What's up, everybody? It's Jaren from the Hockey Podcast Network's newest show, the Windy City Benders Podcast. My co-host Tanner and I bring our unique takes on Blackhawks hockey.
Us on the show have been a pro Carlton guy. He's the right coach for the situation.
Giving it to our rivals.
That's one of the things that kind of sucks. I wish we would have had the Blues in our division this year because our trash.
As well as bringing in some guests from the NHL.
Please welcome to the show, goaltender Scott Darling.
The Eagle himself, Ed Belfour.
Brian Bickle.
David Boland.
Letterkenny.
The show started out with basically a beer league hockey team.
And anybody who loves the game. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the Hockey Podcast Network website, and on social media at WCB Podcasts.
It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code THPN. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up the pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code THPN, and you got a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello, LA Kings fans and hockey fans. I'm your host, Jordan Cunningham, and welcome to episode 36 of season 2 of the Kings, and as always, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Like I said, as always, I'm your host, Jordan Cunningham. Thanks so much for joining us here on this episode. A lot to talk about, man. A lot to talk about with the LA Kings. And you know, what have we talked a lot about lately? We've talked a lot about lately how they need to be better just of late, just better in general. And I said, it's a big week. And it's the week before the trade deadline. You're going to be sellers, but you still have a chance to make the playoffs. And you kind of go to battle for both sort of thing. And I said, you've got to still play well. And the Kings didn't do that on Monday night. Just one game to talk about in this episode as we are talking about the Monday's 5-2 loss to the Arizona Coyotes. And one thing we've talked about a lot this season is the Kings have having slow starts sometimes. They like to allow goals early. And, you know, every time that they've done that, they've been able to come back quickly. This might have been the worst start they've had to a game all season long. It was tough to watch this. This start was tough to watch. The positioning, the Kings just weren't good enough early on. They just weren't all good enough, and they got in too big of a hole, and it cost them. And that's all there is to it. It's just bad. It was really, really bad. And also, when you take 4 penalties in the first period, that doesn't help you either. It was bad. Let's just get to it. And like I said, the Kings like to allow goals early, and this was the worst start of the season. 2 minutes and 43 seconds in, Michael Bunting gets his second of the year on a slap shot past Jonathan Quick from Garland and Demers. That made it 1-0 for the Coyotes. Under 2 minutes later, Bunting, again, his third of the year on the power play. That made it 2-0. Oh, that was on a power play off a high sticking call on Kempe, one of the guys that's you're good or you're bad, and he's been bad, and honestly, I'm losing faith in him a lot. And he's been bad again lately, and it was a bad penalty early on. Bad. Just not good. And then, so that happens. And also on this play, like, Bunting was just better in front of the net. He was just better than Doughty and Anderson in front of the net on this one as well. And then, just about 3 minutes after that, Derek Brassard, who I totally forgot was even on the Arizona Coyotes, scores his eighth of the year on a horrible turnover from Trevor Moore. Like, horrendous turnover from Trevor Moore. Kessel makes a great play on the turnover, and then the Coyotes do a great job to pass it around. Brassard's the one that finds the back of the net past Peterson. That made it 3-0 at the time. Brassard's eighth of the year from Garland and Ekman-Larsson. And that right there, that forced head coach Todd McLellan to call his timeout. And you had to. Three goals in the first 7.5 minutes of the worst start of the season. It just was not a good start, and they had to be better. They just had to be better. Like, it was a horrible, horrible start to the game. The Kings did get one in the first period. At about the 16-minute mark of first period, Drew Doughty gets his eighth of the year on the power play from Kempe and Kopitar, like we talked about. Oh, one thing I forgot on the Brassard goal. That was another power play goal. So the penalty kill was actually down a bit in this game when they've been so good of late. But the Bunting goal is from a Kempe penalty. The Brassard goal is from a Carter penalty. Two guys that haven't been very good lately. Two guys that just have not been very good lately at all, and it cost them in this game. And then there's a reason why head coach Thomas needed to call his timeout, and that's two, like, Carter's a veteran, man. You can't be taking bad penalties like that. Kempe, he's a guy that's just too off and on, man. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him in a trade piece if you can with the deadline coming up. But again, we'll see what happens. And like I said, later in the first period, Doughty did score his eighth. That was a power play goal. So it was nice to see a goal on the power play, finally. That made it 3-1, and it was 3-1 for the Coyotes after the first period. Doughty's eighth of the year, like I said. Then you go to the second period. By the way, LA outshot Arizona 11-10 in the first period, despite the horrible start to the game. And then you go to the second period. By the way, the other penalties in the first period were to McDermott and Walker. Just too many mistakes in that first period. And just too many, the penalties in this game. It's unfathomable. Like, Anderson gets a penalty in the second period, and then a coach's challenge, which we will get to this actually right now. In the second period, another power play goal allowed. It was off night for the penalty kill, which doesn't happen very often. Bunting gets his first career hat trick, a power play goal on a weird one past Peterson. It's McDermott again, man. A bad bounce off McDermott comes right to Bunting, who gets it past Mikey Peterson. That made it, or Cal Peterson, sorry. I got Mike Anderson and Cal Peterson mixed up. Past Cal Peterson, that made it 4-1 at the time. But here's the frustrating thing. It was a power play goal, like we just said, from the Anderson penalty. But this goal happens. Head coach Todd McLellan challenges for offside. It is so clearly offside. Like, so clearly offside. And they say, and they review it, and the refs come back and say, the play was determined onside, it's a good goal. What the fuck are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? It was clearly offside, they review it, they still call it onside, and it's a good goal. Like, what are we doing here? And the head coach Thomas Lawton had something to say about after the game as well, and it was just like, why have instant replay if you don't get the call right? I just don't get it. Because there are some where it's really close and it's hard to tell. This one wasn't even really close. It was clearly offside. I just don't get it. I really, really just don't get it. And luckily, the LA penalty for getting the challenge wrong, which didn't deserve, obviously, did not allow in a goal. So that was nice that that didn't happen for an off night for the penalty kill, which, again, doesn't happen very often. But just, that one was very frustrating. On just a frustrating night for the Kings, that was frustrating to see a big call like that not go their way. Because that's a game changer right there. That's an absolute game changer. A 4-1 lead compared to a 3-1 lead, that is an absolute game changer, and that's something that just should not happen. In that third period, Arizona outshot LA 14-9 in the period. But then you go to the third period, and it's a nice quick start for the Kings as they try to get back into the game. As just over 2 minutes in, Athanasiou gets his eighth of the season on a little cross-ice pass from Cale Clegg. Good to see Clegg back in the lineup and playing well. Athanasiou's eighth of the season from Clegg and Lazat. Just a good shift by that crew. And that the Anderson-Lazat-Carter line actually played a little better in the third period. We'll get to that in a sec. We'll get to something else I did in a second, because we got to talk about Aaron Hill used to play second base for the Toronto Blue Jays. Aiden Hill for the second on the run he's been on, because it's been pretty incredible, and he absolutely just robbed Jeff Carter. Actually, let's just get to it now. Athanasiou scores his eighth of the year. That's just a few minutes later, the line's buzzing. The line's actually playing very well. Jeff Carter, absolutely great chance. Aiden Hill is down and out, and Aiden Hill stacks the pads, gets the pads up there, and just absolutely robs Jeff Carter of a goal. And that's someone who needs a goal, Jeff Carter. And Aiden Hill just absolutely robbed him. And then later on, it was back and forth. Kings had some good pressure, but couldn't score anymore. And Dvorak scored his 12th of the year, an empty netter. That made it 5-2. And that's all. That'd be it for this game. As LA, they put the pressure on in the third period, doubling Arizona's shot total, outshooting the Coyotes 18-9 in the third period. But Aiden Hill, still on his head, did a great job. And the Kings just could not recover from a horrible start in this game. Michael Bunting, the first star, of course, with his hat trick. Drew Doughty was the second star, and Aiden Hill was the third star with his 36 saves in the game. Like I said, it was a night where nothing really went right for the Kings. It was a slow start. Just too many penalties. Penalty kill had an off night, which, again, rarity. Power play goal, that's nice to see. One positive for the Kings in this game, 60% in the faceoff draw. That is awesome to see. That's great to see. We talked about this a lot with Trevor Moores, and just an example, way too many giveaways. 8 giveaways in this game as well. That's just not good enough. You just can't have that happen. You just can't. And just a few other notables in this game. Velarde was back in McClellan's doghouse a little bit. Just under 12 minutes of ice time, actually close to 11 and a half minutes of ice time. And it sounds like he's back in the doghouse a little bit, and we'll talk more about that next episode as it goes on as well to see what happens. But I think Velarde might be back in the doghouse a little bit of head coach Tom McClellan, which is shitty, but I don't necessarily agree with it. But again, we'll see what happens with that as well, obviously. And then, yeah, just we've talked about Jeff Carter a lot, but he had 6 shots on net in this game. Dustin Brown had 5. Sean Walker had 4 from a defenseman. Kopitar has 4. Aiden Hill just played well in this game as well. Like I said, 36 saves to get the win. And now let's just go to what Drew Doughty and head coach Tom McClellan had to say about the game quickly, because this wasn't a good game. We know this. It just was not a good game at all. This is Drew Doughty saying, if he felt like the team's desperation level was lacking in the first 40 minutes, and he said, I think that's what's been lacking for the last 5 games. We haven't had any intensity, anyone competing. I shouldn't say that. We've had some guys competing every single game, and we've had others play good games and take games off. We're down 4-1 in the third period. I sure hope we're playing a little more desperate, but it's absolutely ridiculous we didn't play. Well, it's absolutely ridiculous we didn't play like that in the first or the second or the last four games besides the Vegas game. And just on Doughty's ability to take games over when the team is down, he said, that's my responsibility in that position when we're down goals to take it over. I try to take it over from the puck drop every single game. It doesn't matter. But when you're down by goals, you take way more risks. Be up in the play the entire period. That's what I'm trying to do, and we need more guys doing that. We just can't have one, two, three guys trying to make a difference in the game. We need everyone making a difference. That's the only way we're going to win hockey games. And it's true. And some guys are just kind of out to lunch right now, for lack of a better term. And then and just Drew Doughty on if tonight's game was a call to action for the team moving forward, because they have struggled of late. This was their third straight loss on home ice, and they've been losing to teams lower than them. Well, close to them now. That's past them now. But anyways, Doughty said, it should have been a call to action games ago. We put ourselves in a good spot, and the last 2 weeks or so, we've absolutely shot ourselves in the foot, and now we've got a lot of work to do, a lot of climbing to do, a lot of winning to do. Honestly, I don't even remember your question. I'm so pissed off right now, but I don't know. We just need to be better, and that's it. Enough of us talking about playing good in the third period. We're losing in this game. We should be good in the third period. It's about how we're playing from the puck drop. That's the bottom line, and we're not showing it. And that's better. That's just a frustrated veteran right there about how his team hasn't been playing well enough lately. And then just talking about how the team should come out on Wednesday night, he said, compete. Act like you're in your spot in the lineup and on your team and run with it. Don't sit around hoping you're going to get more shifts. Take your chance and run with it. I think some guys are worried about being in the lineup, and I understand that. But at the same time, we need our second and third core guys along with our top core guys all set up right now. Play as if it's a playoff series every single series we play in, and that's it. I don't know what else to say. And that's true. That's just a frustrated veteran right there about how the team's played lately, and it's true. It's true. The team has not played well of late. And then this head coach, Tom McClellan, on the early penalties in the game, which was very frustrating. He said, well, by the time we're done playing 7 minutes, we're down by three. We've taken two penalties. So I think that gives you a pretty good indication of the intensity level for the white team was a lot higher than the black team. And that's true, man. That's true. The part of it, part of the slow start was just laziness as well. The Kings were very lazy to start this game. And then just on... what McClellan's takeaway is from the game. He said, disappointing, lack of preparedness and intensity early in the game. If you need it, you're out of the game and then you decide to play. Or when you need it, you're out of the game and then you decide to play. That's backwards. And then just on the desperation settling in of a team that's now 9 points out of a playoff spot, like the LA Kings already said, well, that's kind of an oxymoron, or it's interesting how you word that. Is it desperation setting in now? Where the hell was the desperation 9 minutes into the game? I don't think that big picture, let's face it. We don't deserve to be in the playoffs if we don't have the intensity to play to get in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. I think there's enough guys that have been there and know that the journey to the playoffs is just as hard as the journey through the playoffs. We have a pipe dream of making the playoffs with the type of commitment and intensity that we brought to the rink tonight, and maybe a couple other games over the last little bit, that should answer the playoff question. And that's true, man. That's true. We've talked about this team being a playoff team, and they just haven't been lately. They just haven't been. They've been bad, man. They have been just bad of late. Like, it's indescribable, man. They've been really, really bad of late, this LA Kings team. So that was Drew Doughty and head coach Tom McClellan on that just horrible game against the Arizona Coyotes. But now you got to flush it and go into Wednesday night. I guess last night now when you're listening to this. But we'll talk about Wednesday night's game on the next episode of the Kings Den. And now just, I want to talk about this quickly because you got one more episode. This is the second last episode before the trade deadline. And this is Wednesday night just before the Wednesday night game as we recording. And there was a big trade today because there's been rumors. We've talked about a couple bigger names that the Kings could trade. We've talked about Iafallo, and I said how Toronto would be a good fit. And there was a rumor a couple weeks ago that I mentioned about Dustin Brown and the New York Islanders and if there was any anything there. Well, then the other day there was a rumor out that the Islanders were in Alex Iafallo, which who I always said was a good fit for the Leafs. But then the rumor came out that the Islanders were in on him. And then all of a sudden, the Islanders, they're one of the best teams in the league. They are, let's see, they're tied for first in their division, exact same record with the Washington Capitals as of right now, 25-10-4. Their goal differential is insane, plus 28. So the rumors out there that they've been talking, they're thinking about Iafallo. By the way, the Islanders are playing like this, and they lost one of their stars as well. But then Wednesday afternoon, massive trade, interdivision trade, as Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac got traded from the New Jersey Devils to the New York Islanders. That is a massive trade. That is two guys that you want going into a playoff run. And that's weird seeing Zajac and be in a different jersey besides the Devils jersey. But those are two guys that you want. And that's a great trade for the Islanders. And it makes the trade deadline all more interesting because, of course, teams are going to go after Taylor Hall. But you got to think of what the Kings can do. Where's Iafallo going to go? Like, are teams going to shift to Iafallo and Brown now? Like, are the Leafs going to go after Brown? Because it was rumored that the Leafs and Bruins were going after Palmieri as well. So now do the Leafs go after Iafallo or Brown or one of the Kings veterans? Do the Bruins do? Do one of them do? By the way, Palmieri has 17 points in 34 games this season. Both of them are unrestricted free agents after the season as well. Zajac has 18 points in 33 games this season. And he's older. He's 35, right? But they both have had great careers. And it's, like I said, it's going to be so weird seeing Zajac in a different jersey other than the New Jersey Devils. But it's interesting now. What are the Kings going to do now? Who's going to go? And by the way, is Athanasiu going to go as well? That's another question as well. And honestly, I could see the Kings trying to go off Adrian Kempe and trying to throw him in a deal as well, try to get something better back. Not better necessarily, but it's just a different piece, you know? But that, like, there's rumors out there Rob Blake's looking for stuff, has his wish list as well that he's looking for. But it's just going to be interesting to see what could happen now with that as the trade market is kind of going here with less than a week to go until the deadline. And it's interesting. Tough times. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 36 of season 2 of The Kings Den. As always, before we let you go, don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and review to not only The Kings Den, but to every other podcast around the Hockey Podcast Network, because everybody is just killing it, just doing so well. So absolutely go check out every podcast around the network and all the original content as well. Like you guys know, we have a podcast for every single team. Some teams have two podcasts, like we have the Kings Den and Kings Realm. But also check out all of our original content as well. House of Hockey, Tales with TR. We have so many and there's so many more. So just go check them out as well. And we have so many more being added as well. So go check them all out. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the Kings Den THPN. Of course, don't forget to follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter and Instagram at HockeyPodNet. Or just search the Hockey Podcast Network on Facebook or on YouTube or on Patreon for just $1. You can find all of our exclusive bonus content, including After Hours and so much more. And of course, I'm your host, Jordy Cunningham. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at CunninghamJordy, Jordy with a Y. Thank you so much for enjoying this episode, listening to this episode. Always tweet at us. Let us know what you think. Any opinions, questions, anything, let us know as well. And I hope you guys have a great week. Hope you guys stay safe. Wear your mask. Be nice to each other. And we'll talk to you on Monday for episode 37. See you.